Today, not only do we begin with the weekdays, the feria of this third week of Lent, and we are presented with the wonderful miracles wrought by God. In the first reading, of course, we see about Naaman the Syrian, who was very rich and powerful, and the gifts that he brings to Israel to give to the prophet are tremendous, a fortune at the very least, much silver and much gold and beautiful garments, all of which were very beautifully crafted and expensive. And the king of Israel didn't know what to make of all this. He thought that the king of Syria was trying to entice him into doing something wrong and to go to battle with him and destroy him, because Syria was much bigger, much stronger, much more powerful. But the prophet comes to him and says, "Why hast thou rent thy garments?" And of course, in this day and age, we don't speak with that kind of language. When you say rent thy garments, you think that you're going to put them out for rent. It's not. It is that you're going to tear them asunder. And it's interesting, the Jews had special garments. Whenever there was a blasphemy or something sad that happened, they rent their garments. But they were garments that were for that purpose, and they just had a little bit of stitching on them. And so what happened was they could be torn, and then later on they could be sewn up again. There was actually no renting of the garments. It was the very, very light thread that held them together for the time being. Just a little bit of Catholic knowledge to impart. So anyway, the king, however, was not wearing a mourning garment. He really rent his very expensive clothes because he thought he was done for. Well, his servant said to him, "Well, and the prophet, well, send them to him. He will heal him." And so Naaman goes, and the prophet does not even come out to meet him. And he is very indignant. "Why on earth, I, a powerful man from Syria, who could destroy him, he has not even come to greet me and touch me, that I may be healed." And he was leaving in indignation. There's a lot of indignation today. And so his servants say to him, "Well, master, if he had told you to climb Mount Everest, you would have done it. Anything difficult, you would have done it. Everybody expects something difficult. You don't realize that sometimes the little things that God asks us to do are much more powerful than big things. We're not supposed to be showing ourselves off. So a little thing." And he said to him, "Wash yourself 7 times in the river Jordan." Of course, that was enough. You have to get in and get out, get in and get out 7 times. And after the 7th time, he was made clean. There was no leprosy left. And our Lord uses this example, which the liturgy gives us for today, when he speaks about the widow of Sarepta, about which we read last week, and of Naaman the Syrian. And he says to the people in the synagogue where he was wont to go on the Sabbath, and of course they expected miracles for themselves. "Why on earth is he performing miracles in Capernaum, in this place and that place, and not here?" And our Lord basically tells them exactly what they needed to hear. It was not to them that the miracles were meant, because their attitude was bad. If our attitude is bad and we do not have the spirit of humility and love, then we're not going to get anything. And so he said, the widow of Sarepta received her miracle. Naaman the Syrian received his miracle. But I will not perform a miracle here. And they were so indignant, again, indignation, which of course comes from pride, that they threw him out of the synagogue and out of the city. Our Lord always, even on the cross, is out of the city. He is cast out of the city, out of the vineyard. And they were going to hurl him down the cliff to kill him. But while they were all busy trying to push him, he just walked in their midst, and they could not stop him because it was not his hour. And so today we are being prepared by Holy Mother the Church for that hour, which we shall celebrate during the week that we call Holy. In addition, today we have a very special saint, one to which I am particularly devoted, since I lived in his house, in his college in Rome, St. Casimir, Prince of Poland and Duke of Lithuania. And of course, when I studied in Rome, we did not want to go to the North American College. One of the rectors is now Archbishop of New York, and you've seen what he says. But anyway, the bishop, our bishop, Bishop Grassetta, who invited me here and said, "You're going to Rome immediately. That is what you need to do." And so I had become friends with the rector of the Lithuanian College, the College of St. Casimir, and who was a very, very holy man who walked all the way from Lithuania to Rome, escaping the Nazis and the communists. And he was also one of the confessors of Venerable Pope Pius XII. So he was a very good and upright man. And he said, "You can come here to live here with us." And so St. Casimir offered his protection. He was Prince of Lithuania and of Poland, and he died in the year 1484. And many, many miracles are attributed to him. He was only 24, and as many saints, he died of consumption. And in the meantime, even though he was a prince and lived in luxury, in winter even, very, very cold winters of Poland and Lithuania, he slept on the floor. He did many, many penances and flogged himself. And the Lord accepted his sacrifice and his prayer. And thus he had an early death. Like they say, only the good die young. And so he indeed died at the age of 24, like so many other saints. That's a very magical age. And when I was in the seminary, I always prayed to God that I would die at the age of 24, but instead I have to wait till I'm 30. But anyway, that's the way it is. So today we pray to St. Casimir, Prince of Poland and of Lithuania. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.